turning to the world of national security now, specifically policy in Libya. It was in 2009 that President Obama banned the use of waterboarding against suspected terrorist detainees, a campaign promise and one of the few areas of war policy where he departed in a significant way from the Bush administration, though some still argue to this day that America's use of the waterboarding technique was more than justified. We know that high-value suspects like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed were waterboarded dozens and dozens of times. In fact, we're going to have more on that coming up later in the hour when we talk with author Kurt Eichenwald. But right now, new revelations by the group Human Rights Watch suggest that many, many more people may have been waterboarded in the post-9/11 world than the CIA would have had us believe. A report out claims that the U.S. government detained and tortured opponents of the former Libyan dictator Colonel Muammar Gaddafi, whom they believe to be al-Qaeda terrorists. This is long in advance of the recent uprising that took place last year. Two of the former detainees claim they were tortured with techniques similar to waterboarding. One of those men is Mohammed Sharia. Listen. Now, we don't have a translation there. What he is saying there is that describing the technique of a wooden board that flips around and you get disoriented, your head is down and your feet are up, and they pour water to the point where you feel like you're suffocating. Well, Laura Pitter is counterterrorism advisor at Human Rights Watch. She's author of the report that I described. It's called Delivered into Enemy Hands, U.S.-Led Abuse and Rendition of Opponents to Gaddafi's Libya. And she joins me now in studio. Hello, Laura.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So can you explain, please, the origins of this report? What led you to investigate this treatment of Libyan prisoners? Of course, we had all understood that waterboarding, after the debate about whether or not it was actually torture, had taken place with al-Qaeda suspects in Afghanistan and also in prisons in Poland and elsewhere.
Well, we actually went to Libya to do a report about renditions, which we found in when Libya was falling to rebel forces last year in the external security building, a number of documents that documented communications between the CIA, UK intelligence, and Libyan intelligence, which showed in black and white that the U.S. had rendered or sent back to Libya a number of Gaddafi opponents back around 2004 and 2005. So we went to follow up on those documents, and we learned that not only had the U.S. sent back Libyans who were members of this opposition group to Libya back in this time period.
From Afghanistan?
They were from various parts of the world,
okay.
Actually. But that they had abused a number of them. Well, this is what they were telling us in U.S. custody before they were sent back. So we went to do the report about renditions, and we're actually surprised to find so much U.S. abuse, actually, in our research.
It will surprise a lot of people to learn. It surprised me that the people who are alleging the abuse were opponents of Muammar Gaddafi, who wound up being, well, our opponent, then maybe our friend after he disavowed chemical weapons and weapons of mass destruction, and then our enemy once again when the uprising took place. It's complicated there, but it surprised me that we were helping out Gaddafi in a way.
Yes. I mean, in a way, it was a mutually beneficial relationship. Gaddafi was very interested in having his enemies returned back to Libya, and the U.S. was very interested in Gaddafi giving up weapons of mass destruction and cooperating on terrorism. During this exchange, Gaddafi was telling the U.S. that these individuals were, the same as al-Qaeda and just as dangerous as al-Qaeda. And in our research, they told us that they were, only opposed to Gaddafi and had no interest in attracting the ire of the U.S. or were not at all enemies of the U.S.
And how many detainees are we talking about in your report who are alleging this abuse at the hands of American officials?
Well, I interviewed 14 individual men who were returned back to Libya. And of those, five were held in long-term U.S. custody in Afghanistan.
And all five of those allege waterboarding, or all 14?
No, all of them were in U.S. custody for between 8 months and 2 years. And they were kept in dark cells, naked for long periods of time, subject to beatings, physical abuses. Two of them claimed that they were subjected to abuse that involved the use of water, and one of them One of them involved a board. So he was on a board and he described something that amounts to waterboarding.
Okay, so one out of the 15, but varying levels of abuse from the people you interviewed. We did reach out to the CIA for a statement. This is what we got from CIA spokesman John Tomczyk. And I quote, the agency has been on record that there are three substantiated cases in which detainees were subjected to waterboarding techniques under the program. Although we cannot comment on these specific allegations, the Department of Justice has exhaustively reviewed the treatment of more than 100 detainees in the post-9/11 period, including allegations involving unauthorized interrogation techniques, and it declined prosecution in every case, end quote. That's a boilerplate statement that doesn't speak directly to the people that you interviewed.
Correct. And I think what this report shows is there's so much that we still don't know about what went on in these secret detention sites. And for example, the exhaustive study that the CIA refers to of 100 cases apparently does not include any of the men that we interviewed, because they all said that they were not approached by the Department of Justice and they were not talked to about that investigation. So I'm not sure how you can conduct an exhaustive study of what went on in CIA detention unless you talk to the people who were actually abused.
So what's your next step? I'm wondering about redress, if any is appropriate in this case. Do you refer the cases to the Justice Department if, in fact, they haven't considered these? Do you think any redress is possible or, in fact, appropriate for the people that you interviewed?
Absolutely appropriate. And we are asking the Justice Department to open up an investigation into this. And we've sent them a letter requesting that. So hopefully they will review this and they will open up another investigation.
Have you heard back?
We have not heard back yet, no.
You haven't heard back from them. What is the way forward, do you think?
I think there needs to be some kind of accountability for these past abuses. While they may not, in the U.S., it may seem like it's more important to look forward and not look backward, the lack of accountability on the part of the U.S. for these abuses that went on in U.S. custody has profound impact in the rest of the world and makes it very difficult for the U.S. to argue for human rights, adherence to human rights in other parts of the world when they don't account for their own abuses at home.
Laura Pitter is counterterrorism advisor at Human Rights Watch. She's author of the report Delivered into Enemy Hands, U.S.-led Abuse and Rendition of Opponents to Gaddafi's Libya.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.